you return today to Matthew 16, verses 22 and verse 23. Matthew 16, verse 22 and verse 23. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from me, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offence unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." The congregation, we read in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19 these words, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent." He loved Peter so much that he rebuked him. And he loves you so much, dear child of God. And so at times in our lives, we will be rebuked by our Saviour. When I consider this, I know I need it. And I thank the Lord often does it. He deals with us, he deals with me, for he is so faithful. Now after Peter confessed Christ, as we saw last time, and the response our Lord gave, setting forth his church, Jesus then began to show unto his disciples the sufferings he must endure and the death he must face. But then also that he would rise upon the third day. One of the great reasons why he came into this world was to meet the condition in the covenant of grace. The condition of life, which included suffering and death itself. And so he would make plain and he would foreshow these things to his disciples. But Peter, forgetting himself and in great weakness, took him, we're told in verse 22, and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Now, he may have thought he was doing right, but rebuking Jesus was unthinkable and showed his weakness. And our Lord knew it, but he also saw another hand, and that was the hand of the devil. And so we read in verse 23, he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offence unto me. For thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Satan here would use the actions and words of Peter to tempt Christ to turn from his mission and disobey his Father. Without any further introduction, for the remainder of the time, I'd like us to consider, first of all, the pride of Peter, secondly, the hand of the devil, and thirdly, the rebuke of Jesus. The pride of Peter, the hand of the devil, and the rebuke of Jesus. First of all, the pride of Peter. Verse 22, "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." In a moment we will consider the hand of the devil, but just consider Peter. Now just previously, our Lord had taken note of his confession, and our Lord was pleased and spake highly of it. Peter had a place in the church, along with other servants of the gospel. But instead of displaying much humility, pride arose in the heart of Peter. Yes, he may have thought he was being helpful, as one or two point out, but pride arose. And you just consider this. Here before him was the king and head of the church. But Peter took him aside to speak to him. What was he doing? And then he rebuked Jesus. What was he thinking of? What was he doing? And what was he thinking of? Just think of this. He takes Jesus aside to rebuke him. You see, pride had taken hold. And at this point, Peter thought he knew better than the Lord Jesus Christ. Pride affected him. Now, pride affects unconverted men in such a way. And so we read in Psalm 10 verse 4, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. They will not turn to him. They will not pray. They will not pray like that publican in the temple. God be merciful to me, a sinner. There's pride in the heart. They think they don't need God. They think they can get through life without the Redeemer. What pride. What pride it is in the heart of men to think they don't need Christ. Pride affects unconverted men in such a way that sadly it can still affect the regenerate man. There's indwelling sin within us, and at times it rears its head. It comes against the new man within, and we find ourselves at times in a battle. The Apostle Paul makes this plain in Romans 7, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do I allow not, for what I work that do I not, but what I hate that I do. We echo those words, don't we? We're brought to a point where being convicted, and we begin to think, why? Why was I found doing that which I hate? I truly hate it. If then I do that which I would not, I concern unto the law that is good. Now then, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. You see that sin within. And later on, he made plain, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? See there that warring? Sometimes we can be a little careless, and we sit down with our sin. When sin has arisen within, oh, we need to take action. We need to battle. Yes, it's hard work, isn't it? We see that with the apostle. But be care when you're not battling with your sin. We need to take action. Yes, in doing so, we will get tired. But oh, battle on. How I long to be rid of sin. It hinders me. It slows me down, as we see in Hebrews chapter 12. It puts us at a distance. It makes me so unlike Christ, particularly when we consider pride. Remember what our Lord said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, that's Christ. But when pride arises, it puts a greater distance, doesn't it? Or to be more like Jesus, therefore battle on. Deal with pride in your heart. Sadly it arises. When you consider the Lord Jesus Christ, never for one moment has pride arisen within. But it does arise in our hearts. Pride affects us within and it surfaces as it did here. Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. Peter, though he may have thought he had a right intention here, what was happening? He was so proud to think he knew better than Jesus. Pride surfaces. It's seen in the looks, on the face. It's heard in the words and seen in the actions. As we see here, just notice this here. What did Peter do? He took our Lord aside. Verse 22, Then Peter took him. And then he spake, he rebuked him, saying, be it far from me. He thought he had a place of authority to rebuke our Lord. He thought wrong. And we think wrong at times. Consider Peter, he forgot himself. And the believer can forget themselves and think too highly of themselves. Pride can affect a man. It can be strong. And pride can be unkind. One in pride can speak and it hurts another. One in pride can speak with one intention to put down that other brother or sister. That's why one speaks at times. And remember this, Satan can stir up pride within. how we need to collect our clothing of humility when we come out the door and put it on, how important that is. 1 Peter 5 verse 5, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. This clothing, Peter, when he took Jesus to one side, left his garment of humility behind. Don't leave it behind. Wear it. Sometimes early in the morning, the children run out of the door and I say to them before they get in the car, where's your coat? Sometimes I have to say it to my wife, where's your coat? It's going to rain later. They look at me, it's going to rain, but it's sunny. The sun's out, but it's going to rain later. What do they have to do? They have to quickly run back in and collect it. Make sure you pick up every day the clothing of humility. What does Peter say? Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Be clothed. And just think of this, we need more grace, don't we? More grace to so live, and more grace, therefore, get down at the feet of the gracious Redeemer. Do not think yourselves better, as Peter did. Pride arose in his heart. He took Jesus to one side and began to rebuke him. Beware of pride. If pride arises, deal with it quickly. And quickly put back on the clothing of humility. And when you think of that, we're more like Jesus, aren't we? Oh, I've got much to learn in my life. Oh, to be at the feet of Jesus. Learn of him. He's gentle. He's mild. He's lowly. He's meek and lowly. Oh, let's be much at the feet of Jesus in our lives. Be at the feet of Jesus and put there your garments of clothing all around you. Well, let's move on and consider something. The hand of the devil. The hand of the devil. Now notice verse 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned, that is our Lord, and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offence unto me, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. What did Jesus say? Get thee behind me, Satan. Now our Lord was aware that Satan was tempting him at this time. He had tempted Peter, and now Satan was tempting our Lord. Get thee behind me, Satan. It's virtually the same of what he said to Satan in Matthew 4 and verse 10. Get thee hence. Get thee behind me, Satan. Now Jesus knew there was pride in the heart of Peter, but he also knew he was being used as a mouthpiece in his weakness. John Gill wrote, the devil, who took the advantage of Peter's weakness and ignorance and put him upon dissuading Christ from suffering for the salvation of his people. Now let's just consider the scene. The devil came to tempt Peter. And it appears, doesn't it, that Peter may not be aware of what was happening to begin with. Just notice verse 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. We've considered the pride in his heart. But you consider this, would he have ever done it if he realized that Satan was using him? No. He was ignorant to begin with, but he soon finds out, doesn't he? When our Lord turns and says to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offence unto me. Just think of it. What must it have been like in the heart of Peter at that moment? How he was humbled. He's suddenly aware that in his pride he had taken Jesus aside and the devil had used him. Satan is so subtle. He came to tempt Peter in order to tempt Christ. He is the tempter. In Matthew 4 verse 3, he's referred to as the tempter. And right back there in the Garden of Eden, he moved in in a subtle and deceitful way to tempt. He tempted then, and he has continued to do so ever since. Now we need to be aware he is greatly limited. Why? Because of the finished work of Christ. But we need to be aware. Remember what the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 5 verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He walks about. Now he walked up to Peter. He walks about. Beware. Beware of his fiery darts. James Fisher speaks of the fiery darts as his furious assault. Sometimes one comes, but then another. Then a great barrage comes at times. Beware. At other times he's very subtle, crafty, sly, and tries to reason with you. Oh, it's not that bad, that sin. It doesn't really matter. Satan is busy. And he comes often to the Church of Jesus Christ. And at certain times he may draw near to you. Maybe when you're weary and in want. You recall he came to Jesus when he was hungry. Matthew 4 verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. And when the tempter came to him, there our Lord had been 40 days and nights in prayer and fasting. Now he was so hungry, and the devil came. It may be when we're in want or we're weak. The Puritan Thomas Watson wrote, he breaks over the hedge where it is lowest. Be on your guard. Be on your guard. How important it is, isn't it, when we feel our weariness and our weakness, and we go to our captain. We go to our Redeemer. Sometimes he comes after times of private worship or family worship or public worship. He comes. Beware. He comes when you may be so focusing on the Word and you're lifted up and suddenly he's there. The whisper comes. There are his temptations and we're not ignorant, are we? 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We're not ignorant, we're aware, aren't we? Because the Lord has made it plain. We know we're going to face trials in this life, because the Lord made it plain. In the world ye shall have tribulation. We know. He's going to tempt. Because we've been told in Ephesians to have the armour on. To lift up the shield of faith and use the sword of the Spirit. Now temptations which come from Satan can be very powerful. However, Satan cannot force you to yield. And that's why we focused on the pride of Peter as well, didn't we? Rather, our Lord was tempted by Satan, but you remember Satan tempted Peter to do what he did. Peter wasn't aware to begin with. What a powerful temptation. But remember this. Satan cannot force you to yield. When you yield, it is because of your sin. James makes that plain in James 1 verse 14. Drawn away of his own lust. Peter yielded to the temptation. Pride lifted up in his heart. And Peter sadly was used. Now consider, he is a saved man used by the devil. And we need to humbly recognize if Satan used Peter, he could use us. That's a humble lesson we have to learn this morning. If Satan used Peter, he could use us. We could be used to hurt someone else. We need to be on our guard. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Not one of us here want to be used, do we? I don't want to be used. You don't want to be used. Be vigilant then. Keep a guard of your heart. Be diligent there. Now consider this. Peter, to begin with, didn't realise he was being used. As some have pointed out, he may have had alongside that pride, a good intention. He thought, well, no, it can't be. He certainly didn't realize he was being used. And that's a solemn thing, isn't it? It wasn't until our Lord turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Oh, how must Peter have felt at that point? How he was humble. I've been used by the devil. How quickly Peter was humbled. We don't want to be used. Be very careful. Peter didn't realize it to begin with until our Lord spake. Be careful. Satan in these days has come near to the Reformed Church in our land. He's active. Be on your guard, watch and pray. And we need to pray. Remember our Lord gave that direction in prayer, recorded for us in Matthew 6 and Luke 11. And what's one of the petitions? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We don't want to yield, do we, to temptation? We don't want to be used by the devil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Why is there that petition? Because the Lord knows our weakness. And left to ourselves and our own weakness, we will fall into some sin, we will yield to temptation, and left to our own weakness, we could even be used by the devil, as Satan used Peter. Oh, we need to stand rather than yield. Wilhelmus of Racco, make this prayer, give us strength to remain standing. Give us strength to remain standing when the temptation comes. Maybe from someone in the world. Give me strength to remain standing when the temptation arises in my own heart. Give me strength to remain standing. My own sin will cause me to stumble, but give me strength to remain standing when the devil comes. Give me strength to remain standing. I do not want to yield to the sin within, having been tempted by the devil, and I don't want to be used in any way. How we need to be so wise. How we need to consider what we say. How we need to pray for divine help. We're going to sing this in a moment. Psalm 141 verse 3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the doors of my lips. Pray it. Don't trust yourself. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door. Watch my lips, Lord. Keep the door of my lips. Be careful with your words. Examine your words. Think before you speak. We have that exhortation in Ecclesiastes 5 verse 2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. Be not rash with thy mouth. God is in heaven, listening to every conversation, whether it is audible or not. He listens to the conversations you have in your mind. Be careful. What's the prayer of the psalmist? Let the words of my heart, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. How we need to pray such a prayer every day. How we need to be at the feet of Jesus, clothed in humility, showing our dependence to the Lord. We need thee. We're in a battle, and we know our own weakness. We need thee, Lord. And if you think of this here, would it not make us more and more earnest to pray such a prayer? Because we never for one moment in our lives want to be used by the devil. Peter would remember this occasion, and he would seek to walk circumspectly, because he would never want to be used by the devil again. What a lesson it was to him. He didn't realize he was being used to begin with. But the Lord rebuked him, and the Lord rebuked the devil, as we will consider in a moment. And Peter will be thankful. The third thing, finally, this morning, the rebuke of Jesus, the rebuke of Jesus. Verse 23, but he, that is our Lord, turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offence unto me, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Here's the rebuke of Jesus. He turned. And as Peter would know on a later occasion, so here our Lord was not happy. You remember after Peter had denied the Lord and the cock had crowed, what do we read in Luke 22, verse 61? And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. The Lord turned. We're told that Peter went out and wept bitterly. Peter wouldn't forget the face of Jesus at that moment. Neither would he forget this time when he turned. He saw his master, his saviour, grieved. Then and later on, and our Lord is grieved. But as we will consider in a moment, Peter saw something else there. He saw the grief on the face of his saviour, but he also saw love coming from the eyes of his saviour. Well, Lord turns and says unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. For thou art an offence unto me. Peter's rebuked, but also the devil. Well, let's consider first of all the rebuke to the devil. Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Begone! Get thee hence! And turn with me to chapter 4. Remember, our Lord was tempted there in the wilderness. What did our Lord say to Satan in verse 10? Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, in him only shalt thou serve. As then, so here, our Lord is focusing firstly on the devil. Begone, get thee hence. How we need to resist the devil. What do we read in James 4, verse 7? Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We need to lift up the shield of faith when the fiery darts come. We need to use the sword of the Spirit and say, it is written, we need to resist the devil. When we're aware of his temptations, we need to say, it is written. Begone! Resist! The word of the root there speaks of to oppose, to withstand, do so with the word. We have the armour, the shield, and the sword. Use the sword, resist the devil, take action. When did you last resist the devil? We're not ignorant of his devices, are we? But sometimes we can be a little careless. Resist the devil, and here's the promise. He will flee from you. You may be thinking, but there's so many temptations coming, and I know where they're coming from. They're coming from the devil. Well, here's the promise. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Say, it is written. The devil may whisper, how are you going to get through this trial? Resist the devil. The Lord has promised to be with me and to hold my right hand. Resist the devil. Jesus rebuked the devil. Get thee hence. And we're to resist. But let's consider now the rebuke to Peter. What do we read here? Before us in chapter 16 verse 23. But he turned and said unto Peter. We've already considered that he's dealt with the devil. But he also deals with Peter. How fumbling this was. He turned. Peter caught the face of Jesus. It's the turning point, isn't it? When the Lord turns. And there's times when the Lord catches our eye through the word. I remember catching the eye of my mother at certain times at the front of the church. You see, in the church I grew up, they used to have an organ, and they had the organ at the front facing the congregation. I don't know why, but that's how it was. And if I had done something wrong, and I looked up, I would catch my mum's eye. What did I do? I put my head straight down. I knew I'd done something wrong. But I would also see something else in her eye, and that was love. Peter caught the eye of Jesus. And we do at times, don't we? We're humbled, we feel our sin, but we recognise something else in the eye of Jesus' love. Our Lord rebukes Peter, and he does so in love. Revelation 3 verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. As many as I love. And just consider what we're exhorted to do. Having been rebuked, we're to be so zealous and say sorry to the Lord. We need to sit down and say sorry. I will be sorry for my sin. We're not to delay, are we? We're to be quick. When the Lord catches our eye and we feel rebuked by him, Lord, forgive me. Be zealous therefore and repent. Consider he will rebuke in love. He is that faithful friend who in a loving way rebukes, as he did Peter. In Proverbs 27 verse 6 we read, faithful are the wounds of a friend. What a faithful friend our Lord was to Peter. What a faithful friend Jesus has been to me. And I know he's been to you. He comes. He supports you. He uplifts you. And where he sees the need, he lovingly rebukes you. And in turn, this assures the believer that all is well for their soul. Because as many as I love in that special way, I rebuke and chasten. I will convict and convince of sin, and I will train them up as a child. And when we feel that's happening in our lives, we're humbled by the Saviour and we're being trained. Let it be assurance to you that all is well for your soul. If you've never felt the rebukes of Jesus in your life, you don't know Jesus. Because as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. He's such a faithful friend. He's a good shepherd to us. And so he goes after us to question us about our love. You remember on that later occasion, after the resurrection of Christ, there was a time of dining. And our Lord said unto Peter in John 21 verse 15, Simon Peter, Simon son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said it three times. Peter knew what he was doing. And we know what our Lord is doing at times when he comes and says, do you love me? We did something wrong. Our eye wasn't focused. Our eye of love wasn't focused as it ought to have been on Jesus. And so he comes. He's the good shepherd. He'll question us. To stir our love. That we respond with Peter. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And do you follow it through there? The Saviour so loves, so he will come and rebuke, and the believer will be found saying again, I love thee, Lord. I'm thankful that Jesus comes and rebukes me, that at such a time I'm found again saying, I love thee, Lord. He is the faithful shepherd. He goes after where he sees the distance. He follows that sheep or that lamb to draw them near. You be thankful that Jesus follows you. It won't be long. Here come. He is the beloved husband who in great love withdraws a little to rebuke. He may rebuke for half-heartedness, as we see in the Song of Solomon 5 verse 6. He put his hand at the door. Phantom. But the believer was too tired for him. And the Lord withdrew there to rebuke. Psalm 5 verse 6, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself. Not totally, he would never do that, but just to a distance. My beloved had withdrawn himself, what a rebuke that is. The Lord had come to dine with the church and that believer, but the church was half-hearted. And so is the believer, and so the Lord withdraws a little. But it won't be long before he comes near again, in that special way. Oh, he will rebuke because he loves me. Do you realize how much you are loved by Jesus? You are loved with an everlasting love. You are loved with such a special and great love. You will be loved throughout all your life and for all eternity. And there will be the evidences of that love. Support, care, the voice of Jesus, the rebuke of Jesus. He loves you so much that he will go after you when you stray. He will do it because he wants you back at the best place. Where is the best place to be? At his feet, clothed in humility. He knows what is good for you. He knows what is helpful for you. He is such a shepherd. He will come and will be able to say in view of this, he restoreth my soul. Be thankful for a shepherd. Be thankful for a beloved husband. Be thankful for a friend who loves you so much. You may have a faithful friend. They listen, they support, they care. They lovingly rebuke. What a friend you have in Jesus. And Peter knew it afresh on this day. May we all know it afresh. What a friend we have in our life. Because he's so loving and so willing to tell us when we do wrong. He so cares for your soul, he will come and he'll bring you back at his feet. You're looking up, amazed at him, lost in view of his love. Be thankful for Jesus and his love. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we thank thee for thy word. We took great comfort last time that Christ has a church in this world and he will defend it. We take comfort this week in the love of Christ towards us. No, beloved one of our soul, come when we need it and rebuke us. We would collectively pray this morning, do not leave us long, Lord. Come the same day, Lord, and rebuke us in love. Forgive us, O Lord, of our sins. Help us to admire thy love. Help us to be careful. Lord, we would echo those words of the psalmist, set a watch over the door of my mouth. O Lord, be a guard to our lips. Help us, O Lord. Help us in these things. Lord, we see the danger, even how Peter was used, and a Christian can be used. Lord, we say this morning, if we've ever been used, forgive us. And Lord, we would say we never want to be used from here to heaven by the devil. Lord, bring us daily to the feet of thee. Hear us, O God. O glory be to thee, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
We'll conclude by turning to our final praise, Psalm 141, verses 1 to 5, and the tune is Martyrdom. O Lord, I unto thee do cry, do thou make haste to me, and give an ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Psalm 141, verses 1 to 5, and the tune is Martyrdom.
Thank you.
thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee, and give thee peace. Amen.
Amen.